This is BookCareers.com Live, the podcast about careers in book publishing for people who are looking for a job, building a career, or who want to do their current job better. I'm your host, Suzanne Collier, the founder of BookCareers.com, and it's my job to solve career problems relating to the book world. Hello and welcome to episode 15 of BookCareers.com Live. This episode is going out on Easter Monday, which in the UK is a bank holiday, so it makes sense to talk today about work-life balance. I imagine that for as many of you who've had the luxury of a complete break over the four-day weekend, just as many of you have taken advantage of not being officially at work on Friday or Monday as catch-up time. I know this because I have clients who have done this, and let's be honest, when I was employed in a normal publishing job, I did it frequently too. Yet no matter how much work you do, there will always be more work to get done. As soon as you complete one project or campaign, there is another waiting for you. However good you feel by slightly getting ahead during quiet weekends like this, by working when you should be resting or playing, you chip away heavily at your personal well-being and, in essence, your physical and mental health. Aside from anything, even if you are in the fortunate place of owning the business you work for, you do nothing to improve your productivity nor solve the problems of chronic overwork. No one ever said on their deathbed, "I wish I'd done more work." As an employee, you may feel personally responsible for the workload and feel that you're letting not only your employer but yourself down too. This is a myth. If there is too much work to do, the only thing you are doing is putting a small plaster over a much bigger problem, and you personally are probably already on your way to work-related stress. But my guess is you could already be there. And whilst you're constantly covering up for your employer being chronically understaffed, your employer has little need to do anything about it because they know they can always rely on you to do as many hours are needed to get the work done. However, here are some practical and realistic tips to protect your work-life balance and your mental health when you're in a demanding, never-ending, always-on role. Number one, work regular hours. You might put in an hour or two during busy times, yet working longer hours is not productive as the work expands for the time we allow. Plus, working 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. or longer every day is not healthy or good for you. And there's a reason why the EU Working Time Directive of 48 hours a week is in existence. Even if you've been forced to sign an opt-out, you should stick to a maximum 48 hours a week unless it is the week of a critical launch, book fair or major exhibition. And let's be honest, that's how most employers get staff to sign the opt-out. They say you need to sign it so that you can do your job during book fairs and busy times. I know that is how it was sold to me. If you're not aware of the Working Time Directive, check it out. One of the key points is that you should get 11 consecutive rest hours between work finishing for the day and work starting the next day. That means if you are working at a launch or event that finishes at 11 o'clock at night, you should not legally start work the next day until 10 a.m. Even if you're in a job where every week is a major critical event, you should be given some time in lieu or some sort of flexibility within your job to allow adequate recovery time. Even within your regular working hours, your employer has a duty of care to protect your health, safety and welfare on all levels. I used to be a sales and marketing manager and spent an awful lot of time travelling to client appointments. As with most jobs that involve meeting people face to face, you need to be on top form for every single meeting. If you're only with that client for a short time, you cannot afford to turn up disorganized in either your appearance, attitude, or your presentation. Professionalism on all levels is key. As a result, I was allowed to manage my own diary, and as long as I was in the office when I was needed to be for internal meetings, and my sales figures were always high, and as long as my boss put it, the company always owed me time rather than me owe them time, this flexibility would remain. It made for a very enjoyable and low-stress environment, as even though the role was extremely demanding and pressured, and I was probably doing the work of at least two people, I felt in control. And losing control, or not having control in the first place, must surely be up there as the main cause of all work-related stress. Point two. Protect your time inside normal working hours. One of the most stressful things I found working in an office was the number of internal meetings I had to attend. In one publisher, we had a meeting on a Monday, a Tuesday, and a Wednesday. I'd be out of the office on Thursday and Friday and back in again for the Monday meeting, where surprisingly, I'd managed not to cross anything off the action points from the previous week's meeting. It was one of the most unproductive publishers I have ever worked for, and it was no surprise that they were in deep financial doggy doo-doo, because all the staff spent all their time in meetings and not actually doing any work. If you're in a similar constant meeting situation, do raise this with management and question the validity of any meeting. So many companies still have weekly production, editorial, sales and marketing meetings with no thought to the cost of having everyone sitting around a table for at least 2 to 3 hours a day. And you never get that time back. Aside from not actioning any points raised in a meeting, look at how much new work and emails accrue when you're away from your desk. Point three, protect your time outside of working hours. This is key for good mental health, and it involves you putting your phone down and spending quality time with the people who matter most to you, and that's not your boss. Even if you're needed to cover social media and be always on, give yourself some respite for an hour at a time and go and do something that takes your mind off work. The other point about protecting your time outside working hours is to avoid being available to anyone connected with work. Make firm arrangements to be with your family and put the phone down. Go to the gym, but don't take your phone with you. Too many times I've worked for publishers who have decided to email me something late at night or at a weekend with an instruction that it has to be read and ingested for a meeting at 9 a.m. the next morning. Or you're on a very early train when your boss starts texting you asking for instant responses long before your working day begins because they know they have your attention. None of this is good working practice. And if you're a line manager, do think about how you occupy someone's brain time outside of the office, because you really shouldn't. The time someone is away from the office is critical for their physical and mental well-being. 4. Read books that are nothing to do with work and are real guilty pleasures, although no one should ever feel guilty about reading a book. Don't read a book that you have to critique or recommend in any way, shape or form, as that is just an extension of work. Read a book that is just for you. It might be something you've read before that you want to reread. It could be a childhood favourite. I know personally that when I was in a job where my work-related stress levels went through the roof, my bedtime reading was the Mallory Towers series by Enid Blyton, as I knew them all word for word, and they would take me to a place that was far away from the troubles of my job. They definitely helped. There are so many other things that I want to add to this, and I expect there will be a part two to this podcast in the next few weeks. There's also no case study and no interview question of the week, as I'm protecting my own time outside of working hours, and it's time for me now to go and play. Now it is your opportunity to join in the live discussion. You can find us across social media using the hashtag BookCareers or on Twitter at BookCareers or me personally, Suzanne Collier. Or visit our own platform at bookcareers.com/live. Thank you for listening. May you all be doing a job you love and being paid the salary that you so richly deserve.